Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Lalela ukuze uzothola ukukhanya ebumnyameni. Thola i-app yethu manje. Ungangena ku radiopulpit.co.za futhi ungasithola ku DSTV Audio 882 kanti na ku OpenView 607. Siyatholakala Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Gave you men on track. It's awesome to see men doing something, ministering and praising the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's awesome. They reminded me that song was done by Pastor Benjamin Dube. They mixed it with what's that song again? It's running out of my mind, but it's a common one that we sing in church, and it goes back to Jehovah, we praise you. And at the end there's that element that also reminds you of Pastor Elias Ndeda. That's awesome. Amen. May God awesomely bless you. We are talking to Ndeda Michael Mate, who is a grant administrator at SASSA, which stands for the South African Social Security Agency. We're talking about social grants. You can ask your questions on that today. And my family. Yo, this is a very long message. I will have to go through it as we are talking to Ndade Mate. But yes, we are talking about the social grants and we are finding out more about it. So, Ndade Mate, sorry for that glitch right there. Let's explain. Let's talk about the social grant. What is it? What is a social grant? And yeah, no, I'm not there to apply for SASSA. I'm there to apply for social grant.
All right. Coming to the question that you have asked, the social grant refers to a grant paid by government to South African citizens, permanent residents, and refugees who are in need of assistance. Now, here in South Africa, social grants are administered by SASSA. Remember, we are guided by what the constitution that is saying, that we everyone has a right to social assistance, including those who are unable to support themselves and their dependents. That's where SASSA comes in. So SASSA social grants are in place to provide financial support for people who are unable to provide for themselves. This generally include older people, persons with disability, people with young children. And then the exciting part is that we have also included the social grant of distress, which is the popular known as 370 grant. So it means in that way, we feed in each and every household.
So this one is it what they call the SRD? Is it, am I correct in that?
The SRD is 370 grant.
So we are coming back into the matter. I just want a clarity on this one specifically as well. When we're talking social grants, before we even can find out what is the means test all about. So who are these people who qualify for the SRD? Is it a person who stays alone? What if he stays with family, but he or she himself cannot provide for him or herself, but there are others in the house who are working and they are buying groceries and all of that? Does that kind of person qualify? Who qualifies?
The SRD has been brought into the system for those who are unemployed. Now, remember, this is 370.
Yes.
So for those who are unemployed, they don't have any source of income. Source of income in IRA, there is no family that comes in to assist them. And those who, when we check their bank statements, the more money that gets deposited into the account is less than 624 in a month. You might put it bit by bit, but in a month it must not make and go above or the threshold of 624. Those are the ones who qualify for the 370 grants, the FRD grants. Yes, that's the grant we are talking about.
So if I go out, I cut a grass, I clean the pool, and maybe 400, it's coming, it doesn't add up. Do I qualify?
The thing is, remember the thresholds get decided by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So we implement whatever that has been put there. So what we are saying is that any deposit that SASSA can be able to detect, and then we find that it's above 624. Even if you have worked this day, they gave you 200. Next week, you go somewhere, you work. If we calculate it and combine it per month, we calculate it per month, it should not give us more than 624.
Mm.
That is the unfortunate of the threshold of the FRD.
The last question on that, should it be per month, or if, let's say, 1 month, it's 200 rands, next month, 500, 600, the other month. So I think there's a confusion sometimes when it gets to that.
Yes, this one is calculated and is worked out monthly. You might have got 624 this month,
uh-huh,
and only to find next month you don't receive anything.
Mm.
Then what we're saying with this SRD, it will automatically, you don't apply or reapply for that.
Okay.
So monthly we work out on your deposits that has been deposited into your account. So this month you might be able to get it, next month you might not get it, and the following month there are deposits again, then we withhold our 370.
Okay, but again...
So it's monthly.
But again, there shouldn't be help from family. You shouldn't be receiving any help from the family.
What we find, which is, we can say, is very challenging and very frustrating to the beneficiaries of 370, is that there are those that are staying far from their families.
Uh-huh.
Now, they don't have another option to give them cash, or any other way, but they opt to say, I will deposit this money into your account.
Mm.
But where we are, as long as that deposit goes beyond 624, then it will reject that month, the 370.
Okay, then. So when we're talking a means test, what is that?
Wow. Now, this is one of the area where we get so much of our applicants frustrated.
Yeah.
Now, all social grants, with an exception of foster care grants and grant in aid, are subject to a means test.
Mm-hmm.
The aim of the means test is to ensure that social grant reach those who need the support. Remember earlier I said the Constitution give us the indication or the directive to say that those who need social assistance, they are unable to support themselves and their dependents.
Mm-hmm.
That's where now we come in to say we need to means test to make sure that the people who need this social grant are those who need of this social grant. Now, what will SASSA do? Will evaluate income and assets in order to determine whether applicants qualify for social grant. Then later on, I will explain about the income and the assets. That's where most of the people get confused as well.
Mm.
So this means test is simply a way of determining whether a person qualifies to receive social grant that is meant to those who have insufficient means to support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is happening with SASSA is that we evaluate users to evaluate if applicants qualify for social grants. Now, I will refer them to this regulation to say, in terms of Regulation 21 of Social Assistance Act 2004, Act Number 13 of 2004. So that's why most of our applicants or most of our beneficiaries, they need to take into consideration that as much as we feel the situation that they are in. But we are now guided to comply with these regulations. So it says income from means testing includes all form of financial gain, whether regular or occasional, must be declared during the first application.
Okay.
Now, for the purpose of determining means in respect of Social Assistance Act, the income of the applicant is deemed to be the annual income. So now, when we talk about the income means, they get salaries, they get wages, some they say they are now in contracts. Remember, the contract, it might not be a long-term contract. Even if it's a three-month contract, the obligation is on the applicant to declare this. Some are on internship, some are on learnership. The obligation lies to make sure that they declare this. Many who we have come across, these are the things that they don't want to tell us, because to them, an income means when you are permanently employed. So it's not like that. So there are those that have houses and they built back rooms and then they are renting those back rooms. Now they are generating income for themselves with that. They need to declare that to us.
Okay.
There are those that are running businesses. Those have registered businesses with CIPC, and we are saying to them to say they need to declare all this to us, whether the business is currently making an income or not.
Right.
You have an obligation to say, this is my certificate for that I have registered a business. This is my business account, but there are no transactions on it. So that our system is always updated with the current information. Now, that those that are left their employment, they are receiving pension, that those that have invested certain amount of money, they are receiving interest per month or annuities, they need to declare this. Now, there are those families who say that the father of my child is not maintaining the child, therefore I went to court, now he's paying maintenance. You need to declare that as a source of your income. Now, what is more exciting, so that we make sure that the social grant is paid to the right person, any compensation from insurance or legal settlement, any proceeds from gambling activities, the casino, the betting, the lottery, that those who have claimed for road accident fund, they need to declare. As soon as it gets into their account, they need to come and to report this to us. But if they have, this is their initial application and they have received this compensation, they need to declare all this to us.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about assets. We're talking about cash in the bank, investments, as I've already explained. So now, what is important, again, for our applicants to take note of is that the income of the applicant and the spouse must be taken into account, irrespective of whether the couple is married in or out of community of property. So when we weigh the income, we're not saying is the income of the husband or is the income of the wife. We say, according to the regulation that guides us, it's a household income. So now, if the husband is not working and the wife is still working, then we request documents of your wife, and including the source of income for your wife. If it's a payslip, it must be a payslip. Now, if it gets rejected based on your wife's income, then it means it is not the wife's income, but is a household income. This one we need, that's why we need to bring this, so that it clarifies why some of the grants get rejected along the line.
Okay. So now okay, isn't that the matter?
Yes. So now, here we have different amounts that we are paying. More importantly, I'm going to focus on old age grants that is below 75. The amount is 2,320. The above 75 is 2,340. It is extra with the 20 rand. And then with disability grant, whether it's permanent or temporary, is 2,320, and the care dependency is for the children who are less than 18 years, but because of their health condition, they require this assistance, then they qualify. But that is informed by their medical doctors, medical practitioners. Okay. Once they qualify, then they will receive 2,320. Mm. Now, the tricky part is this one, which I need to come on. Is the threshold that we are using for to determine as to whether one qualifies or not qualifying. So, for the income threshold for a single person, the amount per month that the single person must be receiving, whether it's a pension or contract or internship or what, it must not be more than 8,990 per month.
Okay.
This means anyone who earns 8,990, because we pay our social grant in a sliding scale. So it means this person qualifies for as little as 100 rand.
Yeah.
Now, when this amount reduces, then they need to come and inform us to at the office. When it reduces, then our social grant increases. That's how it works. Same applies with those that are married. Anyone, any family that is married that has an income of 17,980, many people, they have lost on the social grant because of they had wrong information to say, as long as I'm getting something, a pension or annuity, therefore I do not qualify. But when they start to reach to our office, then they get this information to say, as long as it's 17,980 and less, that person qualifies. And then what is so exciting, if the married couple says, my wife is the one who's having 17,980, therefore the husband does not have any income, the husband can apply as well as the wife can apply. Even if the wife is getting or the husband is getting 17,980, they both can apply for social grants, but they will receive a reduced amount.
Okay.
Now it differs with child support grant. The threshold of child support grant is 5,600, but this one we don't pay it on the sliding scale.
Okay.
So it means if the person is receiving 5,600 and above, then that person does not qualify for social grant at all.
Okay, all right.
It does not qualify for social grant at all. Now, for those that have children with medical conditions, the threshold is so nice for them. And it favors majority. Once they are single, the income in a house for single, it must not be more than 23,100. And for the married with a child who has medical condition, for the married, it must not be more than 46,200. So that is an exciting part. So once we share this information, it opened the eyes for many people to say, I did not know this. Thank you for this information. Now I can assist my child because of they have these expenses, additional expenses that they encounter for the children. But because they did little, they had the knowledge, they could not approach to SASSA and apply for this grant.
Okay. So what if there are donations that are going out to the single person now who is a child with medical conditions? How does it work? Now there are donations that go into their account from time to time. How does it affect their social grant with SASSA?
Remember, once they approach us, then there is a form that they need to be completed by their medical practitioners. And then once they bring that, then we book them for to be assessed by the SASSA doctors. So it means that their doctor, they are going to complete the form, and then the SASSA doctor is going to make an assessment as to whether this child qualifies or not. Now, once the recommendation of the doctor comes positive, which is means it is recommended to say, please assist this child with this certain amount, 2,340. Then we will come in and assist. The only thing that can stand on their way is the threshold that I've explained to say the single parent must not be must not be more than 23,100 rand, and then the, for the married it must not be more than 46,200. That is the only thing that can stand on the way of the child
per month
receiving the social grant
per month.
Yes, per month.
Okay, that
is per month.
That does make sense. So, and as time goes on, and as time goes on, if there are those ones, you know, they're these generous people. I'm hoping they come for us too. these generous people who just give. Let's say it exceeds. What happens for about a month? Will that affect the child the following month?
Unfortunately, on our process, we need, you need, that's why I have two, I've put two scenarios to say that the beneficiary has an obligation to come to SASSA and inform SASSA to say, on this particular month,
this is what
is the amount that I've received. Okay. Then we will do and the calculation over that. So it means that we don't have to, you don't have to wait for us to call you to say, we have identified you, registered the bulk sample, and then we have picked up to say there's something that does not go well with you. Please come.
Yeah.
Don't wait. So any little money that you receive in your account, please knock at the door of SASSA and inform SASSA and say, this is my current financial status.
Okay. So last time you spoke about some deductions. What are the permissible deductions that calculating, when calculating then now applicants' income?
Yes. Now, this one applies for those that have income and then they want to apply for
the social grant. Ntate Mate?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you.
All right, sorry for that.
So you were saying this is for those who are currently working, employed. Did I hear you correctly? Who want to apply?
All right. Okay, I'm back online. Sorry for that.
Okay. So,
yes. What I'm saying is that this applies to those that are receiving the grant that I've already indicated above.
Okay.
Now, on the term, how does it assist with this permissible deduction? Now, when determining the income of the income of an applicant in the case of social grants, the agency, on submission of acceptable documentary proof, allow the following deductions. Now, there's a current obligatory contributions by a person maybe who is employed that is saying, now, out of the money that I am receiving, I am paying a pension or provident fund or retirement annuity. Then we take that into consideration and then we deduct it from the total amount that the person is receiving as a salary. And then we also consider, we take into consideration the employee tax, and we take into consideration the medical scheme that is paying. Remember on this one, you will have to provide a proof that you are paying a medical the medical for this particular for yourself or the family, and then you are saying this is the amount that I'm paying, then we need a documentary proof from that institution to say, yes, indeed, this is our member, this is the amount that he is paying. Mm. Then we can be able to deduct it from the total amount that we have mentioned above.
Okay.
And then for those that are employed in private companies that pay contributing for UIF, we also deduct it.
Okay.
Then what advantage does it give them? Then you find that the person is receiving, as an example, 23,100. Then he's paying medical aid, maybe he's paying 5,000 so that he can cover his child for medical expenses.
Mm.
Then we deduct that amount.
Mm.
Once we deduct that amount, then it will give advantage to the beneficiary either to receive or not the full amount, but it will take him maybe to at least of the half of the social grant that we are paying at SASSA, instead of not qualifying for anything. You might find that you qualify for half of the 2,320 that we are paying.
Okay, so what must happen when there are changes in beneficiary circumstances? So they knock at your door.
Then beneficiaries are legally required to inform SASSA of any changes in their financial situation, and reviews are conducted to ensure continued eligibility. Now, this one speaks to mostly those who are saying, I've been receiving quarter of the total amount.
Yeah.
But I will give an example with the annuity. At annuity, most of the beneficiaries are saying, it gets reduced every financial year, but they don't come to SASSA to inform us. They only leave it like that. But once it reduces for the new financial year, then you quickly knock at the door of SASSA and say, I'm no longer receiving that amount, which is 2,000. Now it has reduced to 1,800. Then it will add something into your total social grant at the end of the day.
Okay. Yeah, in closure, Tate Mateo, what advice do you have for your beneficiaries who come across information about social grants, social media, or other platforms? There's a lot. Now that one is learning more about this, one, the information is out there, but you ask yourself, is this legit? Is this?
Yes. We thought that it might come to an end, but we realized that the issue of the fake news is not going anywhere, anytime, any soon.
Mm.
So now what we did, we have stepped up into ensuring that we participate in ensuring that we inform the public on any development that is happening at SASSA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, currently, as we speak, there is a media post claiming a double payment in October, the October that you are
Another one.
Another one that is claimed. Now it has created another excitement.
Promotion.
Because they think the Christmas is here. Is giving us extra money. But we are warning all SASSA recipients about this fake social media post to say, please ignore them. If there is anything that you are not sure of, visit our office at any time so that we can be able to give you the right information. Because at the end of the day, we want to protect the social grant system and ensure that it serves those who truly need it. But for more credible SASSA update, always the beneficiary must make use of our SASSA access channels.
Okay.
We have self-service chatbot, 082-054-0016. We have a toll-free number, which is 0800-601011. We have an email for those that want to send compliments, not only complaints only, even compliments, you can send them here on grant inquiries at safa.gov.za. And then for more updated information and developments that is happening within our organization, please make use of our website, which is www.sasa.gov.za. Because ours and the position that we are at, we want to make sure that we are paying the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place in Jalo.
Ntate Mathi, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. I believe Hore, we are so educated now, and we will be wise. We will be wise. And I think if there's anything that is not clear for family members, they can just call your offices or send a message to you guys. Thank you so much for always making sure that you're paying the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place in Jalo. Have a great one.
Okay, you too.
Bye. And yes, my family, that is Sir Michael Mathi, who is a grant administrator at our SASSA offices. Do remember, when you go there, you're going to apply for a social grant. You're not going to apply for SASSA, but you're going to apply for a social grant. And there is, if you need more information, the self-service chatbot, that is 082-054-0016. 082-054-0016. And there's a toll-free number, 0800-60-10-11. 0800-60-10-11. You've heard you can send compliments to Gauteng Inquiry. It's grant, actually. Now, Spongilis is Gauteng. It's grant inquiries, which is one word, grant inquiries at sasa.gov.za, or you can just go to their site www.sasa.gov.za and find out more about their social grants.
Connecting you with Christ. Download our app and listen to our podcasts.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.